the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Pitch. I'm Phil, as always, joined with my regular co-host, the brilliant Martin Warwick, as we catch up with the legendary Robbie Earle as we get ready for the start of a new Premier League season, just a few days away now, after the Community Shield now. Everybody's looking forward to it. New hopes for all you fans out there, hoping it's going to be your year for your team. Leicester, of course, giving everybody hope that it could be their year. We're here to talk to the expert, who will give you the lowdown on what to expect this season. I think last season Robbie tipped Arsenal for the league. I'm pretty sure he did. So we'll get chat here with the expert about what to expect this season. Mate, first of all, looking forward to this new season. How's things with yourself?
Yeah, all good, mate. I'm not sure about the expert target, as you say, mate. We're not quite the title winners, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting one this year, isn't it? I think over the course of last season, I looked at a couple of managers who I had what I call a get-out-of-jail pass. I think Jose Mourinho had it with the Manchester United squad. It's still not quite his own. We're talking about players he wanted to bring in. I think Pep Guardiola had it at a get-out-of-jail card with coming into the English league and not knowing the league. I think that goes away this year. I think, you know, everybody starts on that starting line in level terms. Everybody's had a chance to look at the league, to do a little bit of business. And, you know, there'll be no excuses come 2018, the summer, for whoever wins the title and those who are trailing in the wake.
Yeah, absolutely, Robbie. So looking at, first and foremost, looking at this transfer window in the summer, that's obviously not quite over just yet. We've still got a few weeks to go here. Who do you see as the major contenders there? Who's done their business wisely and who's left a little to be desired?
Manchester City, again, did their business very swiftly, very early. There's no doubt that Pep was concerned about his defence. He's addressed that, certainly spending over £100 million on two fullbacks. Danilo comes in, who can be a versatile player across the back or holding midfield player. Bringing in goalkeeper Edison, who he feels will be better with his feet, more suited to the way he plays. So City have done their business, have changed that squad around. We've seen plenty of players leave. We've seen the age of the group probably being dropped a bit. So City started in a good place, and I think it's getting more to the Pep Guardiola type of squad that he wants. Manchester United, I think, have in some respects had a quite frustrating window. Not always got what I would call their first choices, but I think in Lukaku, you've got proven Premier League goal scorer who can get you 20 goals. I think in Nemanja Matic, you've got a guy who knows what it takes to win championships and will benefit the likes of Pogba playing in midfield and the players around him, because he is a guy who has the physicality to hold the midfield, to be the defensive structure in the midfield with the likes of sometimes maybe with Carrick or with Herrera, giving Jose options in his formation. Then we start to look at teams like Spurs. Haven't done any business to this point, lost Kyle Walker. So I think with Spurs, we're talking about that group. And I think in terms of starting 11, they can go probably toe-to-toe with anyone. What worries me a little bit so far is the depth within that squad, where they can go with the league and Champions League. And then you throw Wembley into it as well, playing for 12 months at Wembley. It's going to be a challenge for Pochettino and his group to do as well, if not the one better. Arsenal have brought in Lacazette. He's been an on-off kind of, well, they won't, they kind of sign him for Arsenal. But they've now got a guy who can get 20-plus goals. Giroud has never quite been that guy. Welbeck does a good role, but maybe is a 15-goal-a-season man. But all of a sudden, I look at Arsenal now. Ozil looks like he stays. Sanchez looks like he stays. That's a deep group of players that Arsenal have at the moment. And then Liverpool themselves haven't done any major business, brought in a couple of players. There's a lot of talk the moment whether Coutinho will stay or will he go, and that'd be huge for Liverpool. He's such an important player for them. And Jurgen Klopp still looking defensively. There's a lot of talk about Virgil van Dijk, whether he comes in. So, you know, the top six have all done their business. I still think there's probably a little bit more to come between now and the transfer window. but it kicks off Friday night at Arsenal and then the weekend for the rest. And there'll be no excuses when it kicks off. If you're not ready, if you're not prepared and in good shape, then nobody's going to feel sorry for you.
It's a good point, Robbie, because you said something there that's really, really interesting. Some managers this season are going to take a chip to the reputation, be it Mourinho and Guardiola. For me, the two obvious ones, only one of them can win the league. Guardiola, as we've seen, brought in Mendy, brought in Kyle Walker, Ederson. I know I'm not going to judge these people in pre-season friendlies. I must say, I was not convinced when I saw Ederson in Houston playing against United. I again felt, you know, does he have the physique, the size for the English Premier League, the style? He looked very much like that sweeper keeper that Guardiola likes. And I haven't seen anything that tells me Guardiola's completely adapted to the Premier League. That's a new defence. It's going to take time to bed in, Robbie, as you know. A defence needs cohesion quickly. But if a defence starts conceding goals, Robbie, then confidence goes. And that's a City team. It's going to have to hit the ground running early. And it's going to need to find a cohesion in that defence that, you know, when I look at it, Mendy has no Premier League experience. Ederson's no Premier League experience. Danilo's got no Premier League experience. Is that asking too much of those defenders?
No, because if, in all honesty, if Pep gets the team playing in the style and the manner that he likes, they will have so much possession that at times the defence becomes more about structure and positioning than having actually great players, because the opposition don't see the ball well enough. English football, as you're completely right, is something that I think shocks Pep in the amount of times the ball turns over, the amount of time the ball goes end-to-end on a pitch. People will go long, people will play, you know, almost give the ball away to get territory in the other half of the pitch. So that's something that the team and the manager have to adapt to. I think he learned that. I think he went to places like Burnley last season, Crystal Palace, West Bromwich Albion, and the times got bloody noses, had to learn some lessons, had to realise that, you know what, in English football, you're not going to play brilliant football every week and win games. Sometimes it takes something different. Now, I think he and his players will have learned that. But it's interesting, Phil, because for all the players that we talked about, what he's brought in, I also want to point you to three players who I think could have very important roles this season. I'm talking about Yaya Toure, I'm talking about David Silva, and I'm talking about Vincent Kompany. Three of the old guard, really, for Manchester City, who do know what it takes, who have been part of title-winning teams. And I think they still may have an important role on and off the pitch for Pep this season to make sure his team know what's required week in, week out, because the depth of squad now is starting to look like a title-winning team. You've got supposedly the best manager in world football overseeing this team. They spent considerable money again. Now it's time to start producing the goods.
Is there an element of the old Fergie teams in that City team? In that, obviously not the style of play. Not the setup. And you mentioned the, you know, the likes of Yaya Toure, the likes of Vincent Kompany. Kompany is going to be huge. I mean, if he stays fit, still one of the best centre backs in the world for me. But with with this newfound role of, we spoke about this the other day with Paul Parker, and the fullbacks and more wing backs or half backs or wing halves or right half, whatever you want to call them. I mean, we know Kyle Walker can attack. We know he can get down the line. You know, he's a good defender. I wouldn't say he's a great defender. Same with Mendy on the other side. Is there an element of, you know, we'll score more than you about that Man City team?
There has to be. And it's interesting you talk about Fergie, because no one would ever say Fergie was a kind of, what would it be the word? He also worried about his defence, although all his teams were attacking. You played Manchester United and you know they were going to come at you. There was pace and movement down the wide. There was good interchange in the middle of the park. There was goal threat from forwards, from midfield, from wide players. But he never neglected his back line. And that was something that people used to take for granted a little bit. But at times, you know, I've played when Paul Parker, as you talked about, when Denny Sirin, who we saw in Los Angeles recently, when Mikel Silvestre, when these guys were playing as well as your Rios, as well as your Vidic's, and you go back through from your Steve Bruce's and your Gary Palace's, they've always had defenders who take a pride in defending as well. And what I think Manchester City have to do is have to get a group of defenders who have as much eye on making sure they keep clean sheets as they do scoring four or five at the other end. And I don't think you can win titles by 4-3 scorelines, by 3-2 scorelines too many times. You've got to have those games and win those games 2-0 and not be as forward playing and maybe not take as many advantages. Kyle Walker's got to sit at home in certain periods of the game when the game may be in the balance. Away from home, he might not be flying down the wing in the same. He might go 4 or 5 times a game. Now, that's got to come from the group of players themselves who recognise it, but also the manager. Manager has the biggest influence over that group of players. Now, I go back to Fergie's last season when he had, in all respects to the groups he'd had through the years, I thought was probably his most average, one of his most average Manchester United teams, and he won a title. And he won a title because everybody knew their job, everybody was responsible, and everybody played the part. And that manager dragged that team to the last Premier League title that we've seen Manchester United win. Pep Guardiola, in his own way, has got to drag Manchester City. And Manchester City have got way more ability than that Manchester United team. But this manager's got to show that he can get dirty, he can get rough, he can get down with the rest of us and drag this team to a Premier League title. And then he can put that onto his CV with his La Liga and with his Bundesliga titles.
Robert, let's talk about the champions, Chelsea. Antonio Conte done a brilliant job last season bringing Chelsea to the league title. A few cracks perhaps started to appear second half of the season, Diego Costa being one of them. Now, Diego Costa allegedly was told back in January that he was going to be allowed to leave. In my opinion, if you tell a striker back in January that he's going to be allowed to leave, your first signing out of the window should have been his replacement. You've had 6 months to sort it. Romelu Lukaku wanted to go to Chelsea. Romelu Lukaku wasn't a particularly complicated deal. Alvaro Morata is a very, very different striker to Romelu Lukaku, so it's hard for me to understand how you go from Lukaku to Morata, which tells me that maybe not Antonio Conte made that decision. He's once again being frustrated with recruitment at Chelsea. This is a Chelsea team that's going to need luck to avoid injuries, in my opinion. A team that, if Conte's doing poorly in the Premier League, the Champions League won't be enough to save him. He's going to be expected to compete on all fronts. They've looked a bit sluggish. The Community Shield is always just a friendly for the teams that lose it. And so for me, I don't want to judge them so far, but enough there for me to suggest that maybe this isn't a Chelsea that... do they start the league as favourites?
Not quite for me. I would probably say Manchester City start the season as favourites. Just, listen, they were under Antonio Conte, they were brilliantly managed to a title. And as you say, things at times got a little bit more difficult in the second half of the season after that brilliant unbeaten run. But again, they managed it. The change of system worked and the team got the job done. Now, one of the things that I was most impressed with Chelsea and the way that Antonio Conte came into the football club is that what I call it, there wasn't an awful lot of what I call that noise around the club. And that noise is often the thing. As a player, it can be distracting and can actually get into the dressing room. And so it's when players want to leave. It's when these arguments, it's when these disruptions. You know, we had the thing with Costa in China. Conte put that to bed quickly. There was talk about Fabregas. Is he going to be there? Dealt with him, was an integral part of winning the title. Dealt with John Terry in a brilliant fashion, so John still felt a big part of things, although he didn't play that much on the pitch. So it was some great management. The club were running in a just a really smooth, efficient way. Since winning the title, it's almost gone 180 degrees, and stuff's coming out that I don't think is right. You know, targets. The manager looks frustrated with some of the targets that he's got, whether he's behind all the signings or not, we'll have to see. I mean, I look at a couple of situations at the football club, and I wrote down three players. John Terry, who was part of the football club last season. We know what he's been as a captain and leader to that place. But you lose the spirit of John Terry out of the dressing room. That's important, let me tell you. Diego Costa is still a Chelsea player at the moment, and we've been hearing for a while that this might not be the case. But I think mentally, Diego Costa is no longer at Chelsea. So spiritually and mentally, you've lost two key players out of your football club. And then I put in Nemanja Matic, who, listen, has won titles. We've seen him next to N'Golo Kante, can help a team defend when you need to. You talk about a Manchester City team who've got all the attacking threats. This guy knows how to block a team off. He's got the physicality, the tactical understanding. He's allowed to leave the football club and go to one of you, what you would expect, the near rivals, Manchester United. So spiritually, mentally, and physically now with Matic, you lose three key players out of your football club, all down the spine of your team that I think is so important. And I just look at him and think, it's very un-Chelsea. There's things that have gone that need replacing, and I don't see the replacements being quite right at the moment. And I think Antonio Conte, I saw him in the press conference after the Community Shield yesterday. He looks to me like a frustrated man. Looks to me like he's not quite happy starting the season with what he's got at the moment. And I expect a couple of players to come into Chelsea squad before the windows close.
Yeah, I was just about to say there, Robbie, actually, you know, we say it's very un-Chelsea-like, but I mean, it's that second season syndrome for the manager again.
It's a good point.
We bring in Bakayoko as a replacement for Matic, but again, coming from the French league to the toughest league in the world to play, I mean, that's an unknown. Same with Rudiger. And if Morata doesn't get off to a quick start and bag a few goals in his first half a dozen games, then I just wonder where the goals are going to come from and are they going to score enough goals? And the other thing I want to touch on with Chelsea was, you know, the three players there that they were right around the squad and were supposed to be the next great thing at Chelsea and the fringe players coming through in Solanke, Loftus-Cheek and Chalobah. They've offloaded all three of those, so you would imagine there is more coming in. But let's move on. I wanted to talk a little bit about Everton. My pick to maybe squeeze into that top six. I mean, they've got to find goals from some, you know, they've got to replace Lukaku's goals. But in Jordan Pickford, Klaassen, Keane, and the experience of Rooney, they've done themselves quite a bit of decent business over the summer.
Yeah, they've brought the age of the squad down, which I think was important. They've brought a new energy and a drive to the football club. As you say, it looks like there's you can't replace Lukaku's 20-plus goals with one person, but they've spread it out a little bit, and they talk about Klaassen and Sandro. People have been reasonably impressive so far. Michael Keane's good business. I think Jordan Pickford is an excellent bit of work. That, you know, you almost like forget goalkeeper now for the next 10 years. It could be this is a kid who's going to grow and be a big part, probably England's number one. And I also think it's good for Ronald Koeman, because I almost feel in some respects now, Ronald Koeman is where he wanted to be when he left Southampton. He wanted to move to Everton, saw it as a step up, saw a chance of where he maybe had a chance to compete rather than sell players as he did all these players at Southampton, albeit Lukaku's gone. I think there's a little bit of pressure on Koeman now and say, okay, you've got your hand, you've got your young players, you've got a decent squad. Now let's see where you can go up. And listen, they could be the team. If they get a good start, and we know what Goodison is like and the fans get behind them there, if they get a good start, I'll tell you, they could find themselves in the mix of the top five. And if momentum starts and the confidence grows, then that might just be an interesting project that's going on at Everton at the moment. So I'm with you. They sit outside of the top six just because of the quality of the others. But it's something that they're certainly closing the gap, and an additional start will certainly put them right in there fighting for one of the top four spots.
Robbie, let me ask you about their Merseyside rivals. Liverpool, a relatively quiet summer for them. Mohamed Salah being the big name signing this summer, of course. Andrew Robertson at Hull's came in, Solanke on a free. They couldn't get Naby Keita. They can't get Virgil van Dijk, although they might still. Klopp said it doesn't need a centre half, and with Coutinho's future very much up in the air, very possible he could go to Barcelona. A disappointing summer for Jurgen Klopp, in my opinion.
Listen, I look at, well, let's say Coutinho stays at the moment for a Liverpool fans' point of view. I think it's going to be huge if he goes. I think it'll send a message and intention to the fans of where the club are, so that will be disappointing. Well, let's just say he stays. I look at Liverpool, and defensively, you know, it doesn't take a genius to say they've still got work to do. But their best 11 playing at the full pace that Klopp wants from his team and tactically well set up are a match for anybody in the league on any given day. So I think their best 11 playing at the top of their game is a match for anybody in the league. But as soon as you go beyond that top 11, and I know, like you say, the blowing lights of Salah and Robertson, and I just don't think there's a quality of depth below. We're talking about a team now that's Champions League football that's going to have to play, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday nights and then be ready for Saturday start. It might be 12:30 kickoffs, and I just don't think that group is strong enough. Now you lose Coutinho out of there, and now I'm starting to really panic. So I think it could be all on for Liverpool to A, retain a top four spot and do something in the Champions League, because it's a competition we know how dearly they hold it. And, you know, that will be a competition. They'll expect to get out of the group stages and get to knockout, and then, you know, well, they may need a little bit of luck to go too far beyond there with the quality teams. But this is a team that will want to get through the group stages if they qualify.
Let's take that top six. I mean, in talking Chelsea, Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Spurs, United, top six. You know, from the outset, how many of those teams have genuinely improved in this transfer window? Because to me, I don't think Chelsea. I don't think Chelsea necessarily have. I don't think Liverpool have. If they lose, if they lose Coutinho, but you know, and also they still need. I don't care what Klopp says. They need a goalkeeper. They need a centre half. City, City have absolutely. I mean, a lot of turnover. You know, sending out seven, eight players, but bringing in pure quality. Arsenal adding Lacazette has added quality. I think Spurs aren't any better. And I think so. It's a question of how many of those teams have genuinely got better.
For me, I'd agree. I would say three of those teams have got better. City, absolutely. And when I talk about City, have they got better? I think there'll be a better mentality. I think they've been freshened up. I think it feels like, you know, some of the slack's been cut. Some of the players who were a little bit older maybe weren't playing as regular, just part of the squad, picking up their money, you know, playing for Manchester City, but weren't really adding competition. I think they look leaner and more ready. I wouldn't be surprised if one more body comes in there before the window. But as you said earlier, Mark, Vincent Kompany would be like a new signing if they can keep him fit. Arsenal, without doubt, look better. Lacazette gives them a central focus that the club have missed. Now, keeping Ozil, keeping Alexis, and everyone says, well, what's going to happen in 12 months' time? Listen, let's just concentrate on this season. Front three with Ozil, Alexis, Lacazette, you've got Welbeck, you've got Iwobi, you've got Walcott, you've got then people like Oxlade-Chamberlain and the white Bellerin. This is a decent squad. This is a squad that should be challenging for titles. We're hearing one or two might go. Giroud, whether he'll stay or be part of things. Europa League football is a little bit of a banana skin, which is going to be interesting to see, A, how they sort of take that competition on. Are they serious about it? And B, how they handle the Thursdays and Sunday games. But no, Arsenal have got better. And for me, Manchester United have got better. And I kind of keep going back to the... Maybe some of the signings weren't like your first choice, your blue chip signings that they wanted, but there's enough there. With this group of players and this manager and this football club, Manchester United should be thinking about winning titles. Now, whether they do it or not, we'll wait and see what the next 9 months bring. But there's enough in this group and there's enough about this manager and this football club to win a title.
Robbie, before you go, mate, let me first say this. I am incredibly relieved you've tipped Man City to win the league, which means they won't. So that's great. That's out of the way. So you've tipped City to win the league. Any surprise, Leicester packages this season? Anybody you see, maybe a West Ham, somebody emerging that nobody's paying any attention to? Any surprise packages?
I don't think anybody win. I think I'm interested in West Ham. I'm interested in Crystal Palace this year. I think that's going to be an interesting project. Everton are probably the one who you think, if confidence started and things went well, but I don't see another Leicester where somebody can top. I think that top six is well proven, and you know, a winner comes from there. I mean, you can make arguments for lots of the teams to be top four. Two of the big clubs again are going to miss out, and as you say, that might affect not only reputations, but jobs come the end of the season. Champions League football is going to be interesting, how people take that. Europa League football interesting how teams settle with that. But the prize certainly is to be top of the pile, mate, this time along. And Pep and Jose and Jurgen and Maurizio and Antonio, they need to be winning titles. You know, that's why they're paid the big money. That's why they're managing these clubs. That's why they're in demand. They've got to land the silverware. So there's a little bit of pressure this time around. I think it's going to be a really interesting season. And, you know, I hope that we're talking about a 3 or 4 horse race as we come into Easter and the end of the season, and that people are still in there.
Robbie, we'll go ahead and leave it there, mate. Looking forward to seeing yourself, Kyle, Rebecca, of course, and Robbie Musto throughout the season with the fantastic coverage on NBC. Always do a brilliant job. Looking forward to another exciting Premier League season. Thanks for taking the time to join myself and Martin, mate, on Beyond the Pitch here. All the best, pal.
Pleasure, mate. I'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Thanks, Robbie. Bye now.